I'm going to talk about, first of all, competency. And I probably listened to more lectures and CLE things about Section 101. I think I will provide to you a video of probably the best explanation of 101 that I've ever seen in a little video clip. And then another issue next is how to explain to a client why their application has to disclose the best mode when it doesn't matter if it doesn't contain it. And then how to conduct effective examiner interviews. Now, these are short little clips, and they're kind of funny. And I'll come back around at the end and talk about some more serious things. But again, I thought there is actually some teaching lessons in them, but they also provide us a little bit of lightheartedness. The other thing I'm going to talk about after that is conflicts of interest, and I'm going to talk to you about this in a different way than probably you're used to, and that is to think about it as how much business do you lose while someone's a client? I mean, obviously, if they hire you to file an application, you're going to make whatever it is on that application, but you can't have conflicts of interest. What does it mean when you take on someone as a client in terms of opinion work you can't do because they're a client, prosecution work you can't do because they're a client, that sort of thing? And then what about when the representation is over? And we'll talk about a variation on that, which has been the subject of some motions recently that I've been involved in, and even some other proceedings involving migrating lawyers. In other words, a lawyer moving from fill-in-the-blank law firm to another law firm, or moving from, and I think the slide ends up saying, from Coke to Pepsi, in-house lawyers. There's some real serious disqualification issues that can arise that will lose a lot of business for lawyers if things aren't done appropriately. And then finally, this is primarily addressed to trademark folks, and I know most of you there are patent folks, but you probably do some trademark work. Just a quick look at some C&D letters about a way to be an effective lawyer without hurting your client. And for those of you who don't know who Groucho Marx is, you'll learn a little bit about him today, and I guess I'm probably dating myself some when I mention him. So when I was trying to find these videos and stuff, and to think of things to show visually, I returned to the classics, and I watched My Cousin Vinny and Legally Blonde. You're not going to see any of those in the next minute or two. They remain classics, and they are wonderful movies. If you're stuck at home like it looks like I'm going to be for a while, I suggest you watch them. There's some great lawyering moments in My Cousin Vinny. I went to YouTube, and the main thing I took away from watching videos on YouTube is that criminal law is way more interesting than IP law. There's some really cool videos about criminal law and stuff that happens in that practice that present ethical issues. But believe it or not, while roaming around through YouTube, there's a YouTube series by a patent lawyer / stand-up comedian. Now, he's sometimes got a juvenile sense of humor, which means that I loved it. And it's called The IP Section, and it's by a guy named Wes Austin. And he gave me permission to use some little snippets. And then finally, the last thing I learned about YouTube, and I watched a lot of videos on YouTube, is that the amount of time a particular person has to make videos is inversely proportional for their talent to do so. There's just horrific stuff on there, which I suffered through, and I will not make you watch that. So what are these first series about? They're about communication and about competency. And there's some basic rules, and there's a lot underlying which rule applies to you when you're engaged in certain conduct. Sometimes it might be your state rule. Sometimes it might be the patent office rule. For the things that we're going to discuss here, most of the time that they don't vary. But a lawyer has to explain the law to clients so that they can make informed decisions about the matter. The lawyer has to discuss the material risks, the alternatives, you know, the pros and cons, so that the client can make a choice, a reasoned choice about how to proceed. The lawyer must act competently. I joke around with patent lawyers, and I say, as far as I can tell, y'all have never met a deadline. And the reason for that, of course, is nobody calls me when they meet their deadline. I only get a call when they've missed one and, you know, something has gone awry. There's a lot of competency required by patent prosecution, and these little videos have something to do with that duty and also with the obligation to communicate. Some particularly challenging tasks, explaining section 101. Explaining to a client, and I understand I made this video a while ago, and I understand that this is still an issue that comes up in the pharma area for some reason more than others. But the statute requires you disclose the best mode, but it doesn't have any impact. It says it can't be used as a basis for invalidity or even an unenforceability. And then finally, a little snippet about examiner interviews, and I'll explain the serious part of it, but it's just I couldn't resist. When you find something that's actually involving patent lawyers and is relatively humorous, it's kind of hard to not use it if your job is to talk about ethics. And then, you know, really, I will come back and say, what can we learn from these clips? There are some serious things in them. So this first one is about how to explain Section 101. And again, I don't think I know of a better way to do it than this. And this is from that series called the IP section on YouTube.
So you know how everyone wants the grass-fed beef these days, but they prefer the poultry over the beef for health reasons. But they don't want to eat the poultry because it eats grain.
Right.
Well, I have invented a grass-fed chicken, and I want a pet.